Are you guys ready for the word this morning? Amen. Amen. You know, it's good to be able to go to your parents, go to your father. You know, he's there. You know, he supplies all of our needs, doesn't he? And sometimes when you don't have the things that you think you need in the house, he's got them. You just go to the Father's house.
That's it.
And we're here in the Father's house today, a house of prayer, a house of sitting at his feet, a house of taking that which is needful. So let's pray and ask God just to give us what is really needful today.
Jesus.
Father, we thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for your bounty of provisions. Lord, we come here, Lord, that we have a building, we have food, we have clothing, we have shelter. Lord, we have friends, jobs, Lord, you name it. You have supernaturally provided. But Father, we come to your house today and we ask that you give us the thing that is really needful. And that's to sit at your son's feet and to hear your word. And as Pastor John brings forth this word, Lord, we pray that we would take it and grab hold of it. Lord, that we would meditate on it. We would constantly think about it. But even more important, we would put it into action. Father, anoint him. Let your word come forth in power and in might and change our lives. Father, we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you remember last week, I spoke to you about how God is looking or he's searching to and fro, remember, for a people with a willing heart. He wants people who are willing to serve him with their whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and willing to offer up their bodies as a living sacrifice. That's what Romans 12:1 says, and it tells us that that is what is pleasing to God. That's the truest form of worship that we can offer up to him, is to offer up ourselves. I mean, what else can we give him? You know, we give him ourselves. So if you remember, I talked about how hard it was to stay up on that altar when the fire gets hot, when the challenges of life, the hard times come around, and it's tough sometimes to stay up there, you know, and to be that living sacrifice. So the question is, how do we withstand the heat and come out on the other side in victory? Because that's what we want. We all want to walk in victory. We all want success. We all want to be good Christians. We want to bless our Father. So it's the same as in any contest, any battle, any type of fight or whatever we get into, any type of war. We need to be trained up and disciplined and ready. You know, if we're going to be able to win that fight. Imagine if you go into the boxing ring, or if you go into one of those, they have those contests on TV, I forgot, American Ninja, or whatever, I don't know, whatever the whole, those things are. They do all that stuff, and there's all, you got to prepare for that. You got to really be disciplined to be able to pull that stuff off and go through that and then be good enough to win. Well, that training and that discipline never seems easy, does it? The training part, the discipline, it's never pleasant when we get into it. But that's exactly what we need if we want to go on to victory. Hebrews 12:11 says that no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces something. It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Now, we're talking about spiritual disciplines here. We might think of discipline as punishment. You know, because that's how we sort of heard it said, well, I'm going to discipline my kids. But that's not the way that God sees discipline. So we need to understand discipline, get a really good grasp of what it means to be a disciplined Christian, because God is looking for Christians who are willing to be disciplined. Disciplined by him and just live a disciplined life. So Hebrews 12:6 tells us that God disciplines those he loves. God disciplines those he loves. Our Father is training us with that discipline to be victorious, to be overcomers, so that we can avoid the very real punishment of hell. We don't want that. And so he brings us into the family, and he begins to raise us up. The discipline that the New Testament is talking about has to do with training, instructing, teaching, sometimes rebuking and correcting, guiding into righteousness. And that's what God wants for all of us. He wants, you know, He wants us to learn how to discipline, and He wants to discipline us because real discipline, true discipline, is an act of love. It really is. Proverbs 31, 11 and 12 says, "My son," or "my daughter, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent the rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father the son that He delights in." Think about that. God disciplines us because, for two reasons, because He loves us and He delights in us, it tells us there. More reasons than that, but those two right in that scripture. He not only loves us, but He delights in us. That's pretty amazing to think that God would enjoy us, would delight in us. You know, how many things in your life are you just delighted to be doing, delighted to have, you know, that happen? And God's saying that's what He delights in you. God disciplines us because He delights us. He wants us to delight in us. He loves us. He wants us to be winners. He wants us to be overcomers. God's Word teaches us that good parents will always discipline their children. Not harshly, not in anger, not to build resentment, but in a godly manner. And if we can train up our children to understand and receive discipline and see that it's something good and godly, then they'll have a better understanding of who God is when they grow up, and will be better able to relate to God and work with God and allow God to work in them, which is something we all need. If a child grows up without any limits, any boundaries, any goals, or, you know, any objectives as a youth, when they grow up and they become an adult, they're going to have a hard time in life. They won't be able to function as well as they could if they had been had that bred into them while they were growing up. It's pretty easy for, I would think, that it should be pretty easy for most of us to see how important it is to discipline our children, but sometimes what is not so easy for us is to see that it's that even as adults, we still need to be trained and disciplined. It's true. Doesn't matter how old we are, God still is looking to make us better, looking to train us up, to discipline us. How old were we, if you remember, when you started to say, "Hey, I'm an adult, I can do what I want"? You remember that? How many of you heard your kids say that? Everyone, at some point, "I'm an adult now, I should be able to do what I want." We all said it, and we all thought it, and a lot of times we still think it, and we can do whatever we want, but we can't. We can't do whatever we want. Not in society, and not according to the disciplines of Christianity. If we want to be a Christian, we can't just do whatever we want. We want to allow God to come into our life and give us those limits, those boundaries, and help us to see the parameters of where we should be as a Christian. Our whole culture, this culture that we live in, is constantly trying to feed our flesh. That's how they make money. That's how they build loyal customers. I mean, they're trying to feed our flesh and get us to always buy, do this, do that, buy this, buy that. That's our culture. And our flesh is always crying out too, "Feed me, feed me." And I'd like to say it's like a match made in heaven, but it's probably made somewhere south of there. But in the midst of this never-ending stream of, you know, crying out towards us, these temptations and all the stuff that's coming at us, in the midst of that, we can still learn to listen. As Christians, as believers, we can break through that. And we can learn to listen, and we can hear a voice that says, "This is the way, walk in it." That's the Spirit of God. And then we have Jesus who said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And he tells us that we have to die to ourself. In other words, we got to put that self down. We have to put that self at bay. Push it aside sometimes. Matthew 16, 24 through 27 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory and with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done.'" Discipline is what makes the disciple. If we want to be a disciple of Christ, we need to be disciplined. We need to have the discipline of God's Word. We need to follow along His path. Follow Him. If you want to be His disciple, Jesus said, "Come and follow me." Remember? He said, "Put down your nets, come and follow me. Stop this, what you're doing there, come and follow me." That's what, when he was gathering disciples, and even today, when he gathers a disciple, he's saying, "Leave that behind and walk my path. Walk by me, along with me, behind me, near me. Walk my way." That's called being a disciple, and that's what a discipline is all about. We're being disciplined to walk that way, the way of Christ. What we're really doing is we're denying the self, this self. And we're denying its lusts and its passions and its appetites and its desires and all those things that are constantly like calling out and nagging us. And that discipline is what will help us to deal with those things. When it's just like if you're trying to stop eating, you know, too much, or doing something, you know, whatever, something you don't want to do. You have to have some discipline to be able to stop that. And when we have all this stuff in the world, we have to ask ourselves, I mean, what good is it really? There's an enjoyment for a time, but it tells us in the Word there that we read we can gain the whole world, but what good is it if we forfeit our soul? If we forfeit our relationship with God? So how do we put this flesh to death? How do we put these cravings, these carnal man to death? Well, our flesh itself is definitely not going to help us do it very well. Think about it. We're trying to put our flesh, deny ourselves, put to death the misdeeds of the flesh. Are we going to get help from the flesh? No, because the flesh wants what it wants. So we trick ourselves sometimes into thinking, well, I can do that. I can just do that. Yeah, I can manage myself. I can take care of my deeds and my misdeeds. I can get this all taken care of. But fortunately, we do have someone to turn to, and that is the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. He's our guide. He gives us the power. God said He will fill us with power from on high, and that's with the Holy Spirit. And this kind of stuff is right up his alley. He helps us. He points the way out. He strengthens us. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Remember the fruit of the Spirit? We've all heard the different fruit of the Spirit. Well, if you may remember that when you look at that list, the last one is self-control. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. And that very self-control, that's what helps us to live that disciplined life. So that's a fruit of living, walking, being led by the Spirit. As we are led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit will give us that ability to control ourself. Self-control. We need to see that living a disciplined life, it's not a life of boredom and drudgery. That's how the devil would have you believe it. We don't have to become a nerd or a prune face or like the old church lady, you know, they used to show on that kind of thing. And some stuck up, wrinkled, kind of like, I don't want to do that. You know, I can't do that. That's not good. You know what I mean? And where everything seems like we have to be this ridiculous kind of caricature of a person. I mean, that's not how Christ was, and that's not how he wants us to be. Because there are many other fruit of the Spirit, and one of them is joy. So, we're supposed to also be filled with joy along with the self-control. So they work together. They're not mutually exclusive. They're actually, they're codependent. They work together. On top of that, all the training and all the discipline and all the denying ourselves, what it does is it gives us victory. This is what, helps us to live a victorious life. And when we're successful, when we see we're accomplishing, when we see we're growing, it begins to embolden us, it begins to empower us, and it begins to bring joy into our life. When we see that we're actually progressing, we're growing, we're becoming something better. And, sometimes it's not easy to embark on that journey, to go forward in that way. But as we begin to get on the ball, we see I actually like this. You could liken it to working out maybe. Sometimes it's really hard to go to the gym or to start losing weight. It's really hard to do that. But then as you begin to see the progress and feel the difference and the benefits, you begin to say, I really like this. I feel better. Right, Ken? Right, Matt? Matt was talking about that at one of our men's meetings. It says in Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels. We already read this earlier. And then he will reward each person according to what they have done. So there is a prize. There is a reward. There is reward for living a disciplined life. There is benefit for living a disciplined life. 1 Peter 5:4 says, when Christ the shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. You want a crown of glory? When you're in the midst of the world and you're surrounded by worldly things and enjoying worldly things, that crown of glory may not seem all that important. But when you put it in perspective of life and after this life, that crown of glory becomes all important. Very important. God's word tells us in Titus 2:11-12, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. And it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. It teaches us to say no. The grace of God has appeared. The blessings of God, the Spirit of God, it could be included right in there, teaching us to say no. Sometimes we just have to learn to say no to the things that we're running after that may be actually leading to our downfall, may be hurting us. God will teach us and strengthen us so we can say no. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. There's that love again. See, we got to always keep getting back to that God loves us so much that he's trying to protect us, trying to give us the best life that there could possibly be, trying to bring us into an eternity with him. He's doing everything right because that's all he can do, is what is good and proper and right. And he's trying to give us direction and boundaries and limits and all these things so we can stay in the safe zone. And that's discipline. Something done in love. And it says that God will do this in this present age, right now, right in our present troubles. Whatever we're going through, God will give us the grace. God will give us the ability. God will give us the strength to say no. When there's something that we're just doing that's not something that we're doing that's hindering us from being one with Christ. Could be something we're not doing. He's teaching us to do things that will help us to grow in Him. It's that discipline. God's call for us to live a self-controlled, disciplined life is for our protection. It's for our blessing. Proverbs 25:28 says, "Like a city whose walls are broken down is a person who lacks self-control." Without discipline, it's like our walls are broken down. We're open to attack. We're open to loss. We're open to, you know, disaster. You know, in the old days then, people used to build walls around the cities. It would keep out all the invaders, all the thieves, all the marauders, all the wild animals. And it's the same thing with us. God's saying when we don't have self-control, we are like a city with no walls. Anything can get in. An undisciplined life leads to chaos, to ruin, and ultimately to destruction. Have you ever known somebody who it just seems like everything is always going wrong with them? Every time you meet them, every time you come across, they're talking about their latest disasters. And you would love to help them, but you know that if you do, you're just pouring money down a hole. You ever known someone, met someone like that? Maybe it was a relative even. Maybe it was somebody you knew. And they don't take it seriously. You give them money, they go out and they blow that, and they're right back where they started. It didn't help them one bit. It's chaos because there's no discipline. There's no order. God is not functioning or operating in their life. They don't want Him to. They're not allowing Him to. We're told in 1 Peter 5:8 that your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Well, we don't want that. Do you want to be one of those that the devil comes after and gets and starts chomping away at you? Well, we don't have to because God's given us an answer. Because in the same verse, He says, to avoid that, He says, be self-controlled and alert. There's that. See, it's the undiscipline that leads to the devil getting a hold of our life. When we give him a foothold in those areas of our life that we're not taking care of, he gets his hand in there, his foot in there, and he won't let the door close in, and then he starts building on that. And before you know it, he's got you. A self-controlled, disciplined life helps us walk in obedience. You know, and that's where we really, when we love God, we obey God, right? It goes hand in hand. And then when we're walking in obedience in that, listen, we're under God's protection. And that's a good place to be, under God's protection. We're under not only His protection, but this is where then His blessings will flow. The blessings of God flow when we walk in obedience to His word, in His ways. And that's what a disciplined life does. So as we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in the midst of the hard times or the challenges of our life, then we grow. We actually begin to grow then in this discipline. We begin to even see more ways that we can make our life more like Christ, where we can be more disciplined. I know nobody likes to hear that word. This is probably... You're probably hating me for this message, you know? You know, I don't want to hear about discipline. Nobody likes to hear about discipline. But I'm telling you, we are disciplined because God loves us. 1 Corinthians 9:25 through 27. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it. We live a disciplined life to get a crown that will last forever. Isn't that what we want? Therefore, Paul's still speaking here. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. You ever see people, it seems like they're just so busy, but they're not getting anywhere? I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. We need a good trainer like Rocky, right? No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Sounds like he's talking like he's two people, like he's got a split personality. The way he says that, I will strike a blow to my body and make it my slave. That's what he's doing. And he's talking like there's two people, and there is. And that's what we need to understand. There really is two people. Each one of us have a dual way about us, a split. We have our fleshly side, our carnal side, and we have our spiritual side. And the carnal nature has all the passions and all the lusts coming after it. And the spiritual side has the spiritual drawing. And that hungers after the things of God. We have to remember that we were created in the image of God. And God is God flesh or is God spirit? God's spirit. And I've said this many times and I'll say it again. You know, we are not a body with a spirit inside. That's not what we really are. The real me and the real you is a spirit. And this spirit is going to live for all eternity somewhere. And we are a spirit being living in a temporary body that outwardly is wasting away, right? So which one's going to win? The spirit man or the flesh man? Which one's going to win? I'll give you the answer. It's the one we feed the most. The one that we feed is the one that will win. Romans 6:13. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. When we were born again, we were rescued. We were brought from death. We were the living dead. We were brought from death into life when we were born again. We received the Holy Spirit, and now we have an opportunity to be an instrument of righteousness in the hand of God. An instrument of righteousness. Every one of us. God wants us to be a powerful force for good upon this earth. His agents for good, I've said many times. And He wants us to be a blessing to this world. And that's what the person who lives that disciplined life can be, an instrument of righteousness, a blessing, a force for good. That can only happen to the degree that we allow the Holy Spirit to work His discipline in our life. That's self-control. The more we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life and bring us to that self-controlled, disciplined type of lifestyle, not dried up, full of life, full of joy, we're not talking some dried up discipline rag, we're talking, you know, a life filled with joy. But the more we allow the Holy Spirit to do that, the more we are going to be used by God. The more we'll be a blessing, and the more we'll be blessed. An undisciplined body is going to rebel against its rightful leader, which is God. It's not going to want to give in to this kind of stuff. Instead, it gives into the fleshly desires. But a disciplined person will press on to take hold of that higher calling. We'll put our hand to the plow and we won't look back. We'll keep going. And then we'll call out to God and God say, God, teach me your ways. Show me. Instruct me. Correct me. Rebuke me. Show me what I can do. And we'll find joy in that. The hardest part of living a disciplined life, and I've already said this a few different times in different ways, but the hardest part of living that disciplined life where we allow the things that come into our life, remember it says to treat hardship as discipline, the challenges of life, the rough times of life, the hardest thing to remember about that is when we're going through those times that this is God working in us because He loves us. We think He's punishing us, and we get mad at Him. Why isn't God fixing this? Why won't God take care of this? And He's saying, no, you don't understand. I got to build you up. I got to strengthen you. I got to make you into that person you were created to be. I got to help you get over this thing so you don't keep falling over and over and over again. And the only way you're going to be safe, the only way you're going to be protected, the only way you're going to be blessed is when you get through this. Quit going around the mountain and now start going out. That's what God wants for us because He loves us. Because He loves us. God's always working to bring us to a better place. He's always working to bring us to a higher level. To a place that we've not reached yet. To become more like His Son, Jesus. Changing from glory to glory, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Because we are His sons and His daughters. And you know what? He delights in us. He loves us and He delights in us. And those are the ones that He disciplines. If you don't know somebody out on the street and they're doing something that you know is no good for them, you don't know them from anybody, I mean, you don't go over there and correct them and take your time and start changing them and stuff. No, you do that to the one you care for. You invest your time, you invest your energy, you invest your love into working with the ones you care about. When somebody comes to you and speaks into your life to help you, to point out something that will maybe help you grow. They're doing it because they care, because they love. And that's what God is telling us, that He loves us and He delights in us. I love that He delights in us. There have been so many people that have gone on before us, ordinary people, just like you and me, ordinary people that have become heroes. Heroes of faith. Like I talked last week about Joshua. We could name, you know, David or Moses or, you know, Elijah or Elisha or Noah. All these different people. Paul and all these. There's so many people we could look at that have been heroes. Daniel, I mean, Joseph. These different people that God used, was able to use because they allowed themselves to be disciplined by God. And they became heroes of the faith, but you know, every one of them started out as just ordinary people. Remember when the Pharisees saw the apostles and they were performing all these miracles, and they said, what about these guys? We know they were just ordinary men, but one thing they noticed, you remember what it was? They had been with somebody. They had been with Jesus. They were willing to be trained. They were willing to be used by God as an instrument of righteousness. Every one of those I named, and many, many, many more that we don't even know about, so many of them. They were willing to walk into the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember them? We're not going to bow down to your gods. We're going to go into that fire anyway, and our God can save us. But you know what? Even if he doesn't, we're still not bowing down to you. And of course, God did save them. All those people were willing to deny their flesh and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to close with these last two scriptures. So prayer team, if you want, you can come up whenever you want here. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Throw it off. And let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. And 1 Corinthians 9:24 that says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Right? That prize has already been set aside for every single one of us. Every one of us. God's already chosen you. God's already got his Holy Spirit. They're working in you. We just have to allow him now to begin to really work inside of us. Give him the freedom. Turn him. Listen. Listen for that voice. Allow God to really stir you up and to change you. And when you find yourself doing things, you say, man, I gotta get through this. Turn to God. Seek him out. Get that instruction. Get that correction. Get that rebuke. Get that training. That's the discipline. Follow him. So let's close in prayer. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God. We thank you that you yourself, Lord God, will help us to live that disciplined life. Lord, just as you showed us in your own life, even when you didn't want to do something, you said, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And that was a discipline, Lord God. And we pray that you would teach us, strengthen us, help us to walk in that type of a disciplined life, Lord God. Build us up and strengthen us so that we might be that vessel or instrument of righteousness for you, Lord God, that we might be like an arrow in your bow, or in Lord God, that we might be the person that you send out that is a world changer. Use us, Lord God. Use us as agents for good, to be blessings wherever we go. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Coffee and donuts upstairs.
sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your blood.